Amen and amen. God is good, isn't he, church? He is good. Boy, thank you, Marty. Thank you, Terry, Connie, choir, everybody that was responsible for leading us in worship today. I believe that. Marty, I had a minister of music one time that asked me, he says, "I don't know what you want," is what he said to me. Marty, you having any trouble figuring out what I want? You ain't there, okay. I said, he said, "Do you want me to get people on your feet or at the foot of the cross?" And I said, "Both." Anyhow, I had a fellow tell me a week or two ago, say, "Y'all become some of the clappingest Baptists I've seen in Cleburne County." And I said, "Well, glory to God, amen. Glory to God for his goodness." Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I want you to turn there. But I do appreciate you, Marty, and I love Marty. I love Miss Connie and Miss Terry for playing for us. I love our choir. Goodness gracious, I just love our church, don't you? Amen. It certainly is. Ephesians chapter 3, and if you would find verse 20 and verse 21, I want to share with you today what the Lord's put in my heart. I told the guys in the prayer room, I think I scared them this morning. I said, I believe I'm more excited about what I'm going to share today than at any time in my entire ministry. And Bobby looked at me and he said, "Really?" And I told Mark Vice, "Don't worry, you don't have to order lunch out for everybody. It's not going to be that bad." But here's what I want you to do today. I want you to really lean in. I want you to really listen aggressively today. There's going to be a lot of information put on the screen for you about the state of our church and where we've been, where we're at, and where we're going. This is one of those times that I really always seek to be a transparent preacher. I want to be real. I don't have anything hidden from you. I'm not flashy. I told this lady the other day, she just tell me, walked by me, another friend of mine in the eating place, and said, "Whoo, y'all smell good." And I thought, Lord, I ain't had nobody say that to me in a long time other than Angie, which that's the only one I won't saying that to me. And y'all know me, I try to lighten things up, you know. I'm realizing that my buddy's looking all tense, you know. And I said, "Well, you know, we figured we can't look good, so we can smell good, you know." And she looked over at me and she said, "No comment." I said, "It's time to go." So anyhow, that was an exciting thing. So we cut lunch short that day. But nevertheless, I really want to be real with you. And today, I really just want to let my hair down and just pull back whatever veil there is and just say, "Hey, here's where we've been. Here's where we're at. Here's where we're going. And I need you on the team." Okay, listen, this church is not about me. It's all about Jesus. But God, in his sovereignty and in his purpose, chose to place me here. And I want to tell you, I would not be here today if God had not placed me here. And because he has, he's given me a mandate from heaven to lead, feed, and intercede. To not apologize for that, but to be faithful in doing that. Notice with me what the word says. If you're physically able, let's stand together in honor and reverence to God's word. And let's read two verses of scripture together, would you? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Father, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. God, may I faithfully articulate what you've taught me, what you have burned in my bones to lead this church into a future that may seem uncertain to us, but you're already there. You're sovereign. You're holy. We trust it all to you. We cast ourselves on the altar before you today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The word church occurs 74 times in the New Testament. We know that the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia means the called out ones. We've been called out from this world's system, the cosmos, the world's evil system. We've been called out from that, out of darkness, into his marvelous light. but we've been called to live in this world as ambassadors of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love how the Bible puts it in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. After Barnabas has defended Paul, Paul's been converted, Paul's preaching, everybody's like, hey, I know him, watch out. And Barnabas says, no, no, I've seen the evidence of the power of God in a transformed life. And the Bible says after that scene in Acts 9:31 that the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. They were edified and they were multiplied. They had inward edification, which meant they were building each other up. Listen to me, church, not tearing each other down. There was edification that came from God, and there was edification that came from brother to brother, sister to sister, to be all you could be for Jesus Christ. Inward edification always leads to outward multiplication. Where people are being built up and the gospel is being proclaimed, lives are being changed, there will be automatic multiplication. Now, I don't know a whole lot about math, but I went to good old Cleveland County High School and had some good teachers, really did. But I learned this much about math, that numbers go up faster by multiplication than they do by addition. Y'all are amazed at how much I learned, right? I didn't know that, okay? So it's not just no longer Acts chapter 2 where people are being added additionally to the church. Now the church was exploding. It was now into the art of multiplication. But our text today, and I'm not going to exegete the text as I normally would. I want to use this as a basis for us, a jumping off point to talk about what we're saying, the state of the church in 2025. But our theme for this year is bring back the glory. Off of Psalm 24:9, but as you know, we've been traveling through the book of Judges, which we'll return to next week in chapter 3. The book of Judges is a wonderful book that teaches us the sovereignty of God even when chaos is going all around us. Tells us how God can get glory even in the most difficult circumstances. But my goal today is very simple. My goal today is simply take a look back with me, if you will, and let's take a brief glance into the rearview mirror. Let's take a brief glance into where we have been, but let's not spend too long in the rearview mirror, but let's cast a longing eye to where God is leading us. Let's look into the windshield. Let's cast a longing gaze into the promises and the goodness of God. And I'll remind you as we talk through these things, and something I said the other Wednesday night, always remember that church health is more important than church growth. Growing churches do not necessarily mean they are healthy churches. But a healthy church will automatically grow because of the health of the spiritual believers within that fellowship. Well, I'm going to jump right into what you're most interested in, and every good Baptist is, and that is the state of the church from the financial position. And she's got that for us. I want to walk through a few numbers with you. You write them down. If you, any of these numbers you want that you don't get down, you can call her office. Joanna will send you something. I mean, it's not a problem. There's nothing hidden at all. Financially, our budget for 2024 was $427,500. That was what we were aiming for, Keith. That was our goal. We wanted to meet that budget, meet our missions giving, meet all these different things. That was what we were shooting for. Well, the good news is we exceeded what we were shooting for. If you aim at nothing, you are sure to hit it every time. But instead of the budget, $427,500, undesignated receipts, this just means you're giving your tithe, nothing designated to any specific ministry or ministry project, was $458,350.52. So, but here's the good news. Our expenses came in at $394,090.16 for a surplus of $64,260.36. Can we say to God be the glory for that, church? Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to know it's not about money, but it costs money to do ministry. You can only do a ministry, a dollar's worth of ministry with a dollar. And Warren Wiersbe said it best, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Amen. When we get our babies are born, bring them home from the hospital, and they start walking, we buy them a pair of shoes. Or if you like, my little Rob, he had 86 pair before he ever put his feet on the ground. But anyhow, Nevertheless, poor kid. But here's the deal. We don't buy them a pair of shoes when they start walking and say, hey, hope these last you till you're grown and you can buy your own. No, we buy them shoes as they grow. We buy them clothes as we grow, because the reason it takes money to raise kids is because they're growing. The reason it takes money to do ministry is because things are expanding. Now, with a surplus of $64,000, you say, man, I can relax now. I can just back off. Church got more money than I got. Well, I want you to know this. This preacher is not about your money. I'm not after your money or anything like that. I'm after your obedience. And if you're obedient, you're faithful in giving. But that money will be reinvested in ministry in the coming year. So don't get too excited, okay? How do we do from a mission standpoint in 2024? Our missions budget giving was $85,745.45, which was $4,145 above what we were shooting at. So we went ahead, above and beyond our projected goals. That was undesignated. That was what comes out for cooperative program, local association, rest ministries, and our HBC missions budget, which funds your mission trips and all the things we do locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally for the glory of God. So just out of undesignated receipts, you gave $85,745. But now there was more. Like, y'all remember the thing? But there's more, right? On top of the undesignated receipts, there were also designated missions offering, and you'll see those funny initials. You're like, what is that? ACC is Awakened City Church. They're our partners in Utah, in Harriman, Utah. You gave, just out of the envelopes where you put extra money in, you gave $8,180 to Awakened City Church last year. LM is Grandma Lottie. AA is Aunt Annie Armstrong. And Myers Mallory is our cousins, our state missions offering, right? So our International North American Mission Board and State Missions offering totaled $9,270 for a grand total of missions giving last year of $103,195.45. That's what I'm most excited about, church. Is, hey, look here. That is good stuff. That's not glory to the preacher or glory to any man. That is glory to God, because what he did was he placed a dream in a preacher's heart, and the preacher went and transferred the dream to the people's heart, and people embraced it, and we see it coming. You say, well, that's not a whole lot. May not be, but I want you to know, for a little country church in northeast Alabama, I think God's doing great things, and he's going to use us to touch the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're doing it every week. When you give into that offering plate, you're not giving to the church or to the preacher. You're giving through the church that God might use us to complete the work of the Great Commission. But wait a minute, there's more. In addition to that missions giving, in addition to our undesignated and all the different things we have been pleased to be a part of this year, we were able to pay cash for two brand new Ford Transit vans, 2024 models. By the time we paid for them and put step boards on them and tags and insurance, all that, that was around $125,000 that did not come out of your budget, that you just gave to above and beyond and said, we believe in this. Chris, wasn't that a blessing this year? Now, when you go out in the parking lot and you see they have been through the snow, salt and sand and all that kind of stuff, we're going to get them professionally cleaned this week. We're going to take care of what God has given us. We're going to make sure the undercarriage and all that's cleaned out like it should be. But I want you to know, they won't be dirty long. But I'm just grateful to God they got dirty. Yeah. Amen. We have not bought anything here that cannot be used and it cannot be fixed. We are doing that for the glory of God. So thank you for your faithfulness to give to help pay cash for those vans. No payments, no mortgage, no nothing. They are paid for in full. On top of that, we sent two teams to Utah last year, to Awakened City and to Morgan. Sent two teams out there in our missions budget. But here's the deal, church. Now's not the time to hold back. Now's not the time to say, well, the church has reached a cruising altitude. We can pull off our seat. The captain's turned to fasten your seatbelt sign off. We've heard a couple of dings, and they're coming down the aisle with peanuts and a Coca-Cola. No, 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 it's not the time to cruise. It's the time to climb. It's the time to press forward. It's the time to lean in. But I wanted you to get those numbers and just get that in front of you first, because I know that's what people are most interested in, right? But hear me. There's so much that God wants to do in and through us. The Bible says he can do exceedingly abundantly. Double adverbs. exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. That means you and I cannot fathom what God wants to do with his church. Well, let's move from financials. Let's talk about spirituals. How about that, Marty? You like spiritual stuff, don't you? You're a spiritual dude. Amen. I'm going to talk quickly through this. Spiritually, we've got to look at a couple of things that must be in place in order for us to continue to see God do what he's doing and do it in even greater ways. The first one I want to talk to you about is there must be an elimination of contamination. Y'all have been on disaster relief before and saw black mold, hadn't you? I was on disaster relief in Nashville, Tennessee after the floods of 2010, and we had a guy with us who was the owner of a Service Master Clean franchise. He knows a little bit about fire and water restoration. We went in there and they began to tell us, well, you're just going to cut this sheetrock 4 feet up. We don't need to go all the way up because it might have been they were trying to keep the cost down. But regardless, my buddy got all fired up. He said, hey, there's black mold in there all the way to the ceiling. There's no way we're going to put those people back in that house when it looks okay on the outside, but there's black mold growing behind the walls. I mean, he did. So, you know what? We took it all the way to the ceiling. After that, and you know what? It was all the way up. And they brought in this stuff. I'm a Clorox kind of guy, but they brought in some stuff supposed to be better than that. Probably going to kill me at some point. But we sprayed it on that stuff, and it just started eating that mold off, Ray. It just started draining down those stud walls and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, my buddy, he's a little fired up. He brought that little superintendent back in there and said, hey, look at that. You realize what we've done? Man, he gave her a 45-minute sermon about not putting people in a house with black mold and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the devil's trying to infect his church with black mold. He's trying to hide it behind the walls and get it in places we can't see from the outside. There must be elimination of any spiritual contamination in my heart, your heart, and the heart of the church. Well, what could that be? Let's talk about two things. One, I call them padlocks for growth. Padlocks, things we, growth begins to take place, lives begin to be changed, and we put a padlock on it because we think that's enough. I want you to know what some of those are. I'm going to talk to them real quick. Number one is power. I did not come to church to serve for any power or anything like that, but I've met a lot of people over my time who have. Some of them had no authority anywhere in the world, but when they got to church, they wanted to slang some around, right? That is a contaminant that is a padlock to the growth of the church. I mean, God will literally shut it down if we get to the point that we think that we know better than he does. There's a second, and that is prejudice. You say, is that racial prejudice? Well, it can be, but it's not limited to that. There's all different types of prejudice. You should never look down on another person because they have a different color skin. You should never look down on another person because they live on a different street or don't have what you have. You should never look down on a person of where they come from, who their mom and daddy was. They can't help none. None of us get to choose that stuff, right? And the best I know, Jesus Christ went to the cross for whosoever. That means red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. We used to teach little kids to sing that, but their mom and daddy didn't even mean it. Amen? I believe that. I love people. I'm kind of like Coach Bryant. They asked him one segregation over, said, how many black players do you have? He says, I don't have any. I just got players. Amen? It doesn't matter about those things, okay? That's not ever going to be an issue at Heflin Baptist Church because me and Jesus will deal with it, amen? Because I'm telling you, people need the Lord. I've been through this stuff. I've dealt with the prejudice of people over the years, and I'm grateful to God to be a part of a church that loves people unconditionally regardless of who you are, where you come from. We love them, amen? Aren't you grateful for that, church? Amen. And of course, there's always pride. Sometimes the church begins to do good, and whether it's the preacher or the people begin to think, boy, look at us, we are something. I want you to know this. I'm just like Junior Hill. Too many people get to thinking they're a big shot, and all they are is a little squirt. Amen? That's it. And I am perfectly content to be whatever God wants he wants. I don't want to see one person in Cleburne County die and go to hell because Heflin Baptist Church wasn't faithful proclaiming the gospel. Amen? Pride is a terrible thing, and every sin that we fall into can be rooted back to our personal pride. Well, let's look at a second thing. Not just the elimination of contamination, but there also must be expectations for completion. There must be an anticipation or an expectation that God is going to do what he said in Philippians 1:6, which said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you shall complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. Do you know God's begun a good work in you? Did you know that? When you get home for lunch today, sir, I want you to look at mama and say, hey, the preacher said there's a good work going on in here. And she's going to say, eat your corn, Bubba. I mean, yeah, no. Mama, you look at daddy and say, the preacher said that the word of God said there's a good work. So if there's a good work in you, mama, and there's a good work in you, daddy, that means there's a good work in your home. Put that good work into your kids and bring them to the house of God. Let them be involved in a ministry that's going to challenge and change them by the power of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you can have a family that is has a good work, who comes to a church full of people that he's begun a good work in, and we can see him complete it to the day of Jesus Christ through all of us. Amen? So what is those expectations? Well, let's talk about what are the promoters of growth. Not the padlocks. What about the promoters? What promotes? What makes growth automatic? Well, the first one is very simply our prayers. I love what Spurgeon said. Some people get to thinking that they're more spiritual if they pray for longer periods of time than other people. You ever hear these people prayed for 5 hours this morning? I've heard that. I've had preaching before. I start my day 5 hours of prayer every day. Well, let me just go ahead and tell you something, okay? I know this is going to shock y'all. I don't pray for 5 hours every morning. Call the papers, right? Well, Spurgeon said this. He said, I can count on one hand the times I prayed for over an hour. Listen, the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, said this. I can count on one hand the times I prayed for more than an hour, but I can also count on one hand the times I went an hour without praying. That's pretty profound. You know what? The Bible says pray without ceasing means to be in a constant state of communication with God, always being at the bidding of the Holy Spirit. It's not how long you pray, but I'd say it has something to do with how often you pray. We don't need to just be a church that prays. We need to be a praying church. We need to be a church that calls on the name of God and believes in the name of God and believes that he can do the exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. But the prayer ought to lead to participation. Means you ought to get out of the stands, off the sidelines, in the game. Y'all ever notice how the guy in the stands, he should be a national champion coach, right? I heard these guys when I was in Georgia one year. I was at a high school football game. My daughters went to Rockmart High School, a high school football game. And Coach, they were running the split veer back in those days. Coach Duff won 3 or 4 state championships as offensive coordinator at West Rome High School running the split veer. All right, so they're running the split veer. You know, he's an old school coach, and he hadn't got into all that spread stuff and everything by then. So they're running split veer, man. They're just pounding it. Just dive left, dive right, pull it quarterback pitch. I mean, they're just, and some of y'all are like, man, I wish he wouldn't always use football for things, but I'm telling you, it's a good preparation for life. Okay, so here's the deal. So nevertheless, that's what they're doing, split veer. This one guy looks over, and I'm telling you, man, I got a big belly, but I ain't never seen a belly like this right here. Hung slap out of his T-shirt. I mean, hung weight. I mean, yeah. I mean, should have been arrested for public indecency. The Joker was over. He says, I don't know why they keep just running up. Man, don't get me wrong, Coach. They were getting 4 or 5 licks. It was 4 yards of cloud of dust. Every now and then they might throw a screen or a little slant pattern or something like that. But, I mean, it was 4 yards in a cloud of dust. I don't know why they just keep running ball up in the middle all the time. He ain't getting nowhere, but they were moving the chains. Ain't that the name of the game on offense? Keep the chains moving, right? Don't get behind the stick. So here we go. He's over there. He says, yep, when I coached and I got my ears perked up, I'm thinking, dear God, you didn't run sprints with them. I can tell you that. He says, when I coached, I wasn't an up-the-middle man. I was kind of an outside man. I'm thinking, where you need to be is outside the fence. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you, everybody's a hero from the stands. The guys on the sidelines are heroes because, man, it looks easy from the sidelines. But God does not call his children to be spectators or cheerleaders. He calls them to be participants in the worship, in the ministry of a holy God to a hurting world. Do you believe that? So I believe that's important. It takes participation. If you'll pray and talk to God long enough, he'll get you involved. You say, well, I can't find where I fit in. I guarantee you this. Ain't none of us said, oh, no, we don't need no help. No, I'm telling you, there's a place for everybody to participate. And then thirdly, it's going to require some perseverance. When you participate, let me tell you what's going to happen. Eventually, you're going to get your feelings hurt. Somebody's going to disappoint you. You're going to get mad and say, well, the preacher didn't do what I wanted him to do. That's exactly right. He's not called to do what you want him to do. He's called to do what God wants him to do. I got that right. But anyhow, or my Sunday school teacher or the deacon or the Bible school director or the mission trip I went on, I just tell you, and you're going to get your feelings hurt. That's when it's going to require you to go back to that prayer closet, remember who put you in the game, and keep persevering for his glory, not your own. Amen? George Mueller. Y'all ever hear the story about George Mueller had an orphanage? Great preacher centuries ago. George Mueller had an orphanage that over a period of time had over 10,000 kids come through that orphanage. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know what he did? Never, never, ever did he advocate for funding or anything like that. Didn't call anybody, didn't have a ministry board of directors or nothing like that. But you know what he did have? He had a prayer closet. He went to that prayer closet every day just praying for God to provide for the meager needs of the children in that orphanage. One day he gathered those kids together and he said, "Young'uns, we fixing to pray over this meal we're about to receive." Knowing there was not one piece of bread or milk or nothing in that orphanage to feed those kids, he went in there believing and anticipating, saying, "God, we want to thank you for the food you're about to give us." And he didn't have anything to give them. The kids didn't know it, but they were fixing to find out. And as he finished praying, there was a knock at the door. There was a man from the bakery standing in front of him with a big basket of bread. He said, "Can I help you?" He says, "I don't know why, preacher, but last night I couldn't hardly sleep, and God woke me up about 2:30 this morning, and I've been baking bread, and he told me to bring this and give it to you. I don't know why, but here I am." Hey, look, they had enough bread to feed every kid in the orphanage, and all of a sudden there was a knock at another door, and the milk truck had broke down right in front of the orphanage, and the man from the milk truck says, "Hey, I got to do something with this milk. How about I just give it to y'all?" Hey, church, hear me. God can do more with your prayers and you persevere through the pain than he ever can with anything else we do. George Mueller knew that God was his source. Amen. Well, let's move on, okay? I got lots to share today. Y'all not hungry yet. I can tell y'all look good. You got many months saved up out there. Here's what I want to talk to you about, okay? On Wednesday nights, I've been talking to our church family in the fellowship hall. I've been reading this book called Reclaim Church by Bill Hennard. Really good. I'm going to talk about those life stages, I think, Carla, is where I want to get to. Yeah. The life stages of the church. So let me just briefly share with you what it is. If you've been on Wednesday nights, it'll be a little repetitive. If not, it'll be neat. But Bill Hennard, talking about Mueller again, He had come to realize that churches are in one of three life stages. Every church is either a growing church, they are a plateaued church, or they are a declining church. Growing means that they're progressing in the ministry God's calling them to. Plateaued is a nice word for beginning to die, and decline means sliding quickly toward death. And what he did is he began to break down the things that churches should be involved in and how each one of those life stages, growing, plateaued, or decline, how they view these different areas of ministry. Let's talk about just a few of them. He talked about vision. How does the growing church view and implement vision in the church? Here's what I learned about them. The growing church provides a means of God's strategic direction for the church, okay? Back off of that, Carl. I'll get that in a little bit, okay? The plateaued church has traded the future for the present. They begin to hold on to the past. The declining church lives totally in the past And the attitude is not one of hope, but nostalgia. When it comes to ministry, how does these churches view? Well, the growing church views ministry as being focused on the needs of the community and embracing a church body concept. No individualism, but a body. The plateaued church has a primary focus on the needs of their congregation, not the community beyond the congregation. And they live in a state of self-preservation. Let's just take care of us. The declining church views ministry as a focus on just ministering to a control group within the church. Opinions and feelings become more valued than the gospel. Can you see the pattern? When it comes to mission, the growing church, they clearly have a strategy focused on the Great Commission. Their budgets reflect a missions perspective. I'm grateful to God to say to you today, I believe that God has raised up Heflin Baptist Church to have a Great Commission focus. And I believe our budget, as you've seen earlier, greatly reflects that perspective. The plateau church moves from missions to let's just come up with a new program. Mission becomes what the church does instead of who the church is. Ladies and gentlemen, the missions ministry of Heflin Baptist Church cannot just be a program. It cannot be what we do as a caveat sidelight to our ministry. It must be in the DNA of who we are. Amen? How does a declining church view mission? Well, they see mission becomes more of a just denominational support only, rather than fulfilling the Great Commission. Let me make a point here. I believe in supporting denominational missions efforts. We do that through our cooperative program giving. We do that through our local county commission giving, county ministry giving. We do that through Annie, Lottie, Myers, Mallory. We get involved in giving through denominational, but that is not the end. That is just the beginning. We are engaged in not just sending our money, but we are sending our members to the mission field. We're sending people. You're investing in people right out of your pews to go and be a Great Commission Christian. And then finally, motivation. How does the growing church view motivation? They believe this. Their existence is totally wrapped up in their vision, and everything they do flows out of that vision. The plateau church believes their existence is in their programs. They have substituted programs for vision. And the declining church, their existence is totally in their structure. They love their organizational charts. Everybody likes those. I shared on Wednesday night. Some people think the church is like a business organizational chart where you got pastor, deacons, and all that. But that's not really the way the church is. Remember this. The church is not an organization. It's an organism. It's living. It's alive. Okay? It is not a hierarchy, but more one of concentric circles. In the center, you have your pastor and your staff and your deacons and all that that serve and teach and lead and begins to branch out to concentric circles of ministry. It's not who's the high and the low. There's no seniority in the family of God, the kingdom of God. It's about people who are working together for the glory to see God do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. So what does that mean to us? Well, let's talk about the practicals and life stages concerning Heflin Baptist Church, okay? Let's get real personal for a minute. Would y'all agree many mountains are behind us? But wouldn't you agree many mountains are still ahead of us? I do believe this. I believe that the Lord has positioned Heflin Baptist Church to be a growing church. I do not believe we're in plateau or decline, but I want you to know it was a hard climb from decline to growing. It was a difficult climb. It required a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But I want you to know, as hard as it is to climb out of the pit from declining to growing, I want you to know that it is a short walk to the plateau and then a short walk to decline. You know what I've learned about Satan? I've learned a lot of things about him. One, I learned I don't like him. I actually hate him. You say, hate's such a strong word. God don't hate anything, really. You hadn't read the Bible if you believe that, okay? Look here. I have a holy hatred for the devil. You know why? He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to decimate your life and destroy your life and destroy your church. But let me tell you what else I've learned about him. He don't mind the church living on the plateau. He don't mind. He loves to see churches in decline. And he loves it when churches get onto the plateau and decline without even realizing where they are. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe today we need to sound the clarion call that it's time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that gathers and represents this city and this town at 155 Almond Street, that we will be a people who will not just become a growing church, but will continue to be a growing church, growing in faith and depth. I'm not talking about a mile wide and a half inch deep. I'm talking about discipling people in the Word of God and teaching them to walk with Him and persevering through the pain. Those type things are very important. So how do we do that? How do we keep from slipping into plateau and decline? Well, let's walk through them again. Let's talk about vision. Let's get personal for a minute, all right? I've talked in general terms. Let's talk personally. Vision, we're talking about the church. What do we see happening just right around us? Well, I want to tell you, I'm grateful to God to work with a wonderful building grounds team. I'm grateful to God to work with a wonderful stewardship team that really have a vision for what God is going to do. They're sharing my heart, and it means so much. Right now, as you can see, preparatory work's been underway. God's been good to us. God has supplied a lot of labor, a lot of tractors, and a lot of help, and all those things to get to where we are preparationally for the future. Right now, we're working on a strategic plan for the development of our campus, to provide for the needs of our church, but also to provide for ministry to our community. It's never going to be all about us. So you say, preacher, I know they're working on a plan. Can you roughly tell? I'm going to give you a rough sketch, okay? Rough sketch in your mind, and we'll get all. And here's what's going to happen. When we get all this definitely detailed, we're going to come back to a meeting here. We're going to share it with you again on a Sunday morning. And when it's time to vote on it, we're all going to vote hallelujah, and we're going to see God do great things, okay? We're going to do it right. But roughly right now we're planning, as you can tell, we've already added a great deal of parking here. You can park on that forever and a day, can't you, Ray? But you know what? Eventually we're going to pave that, make it real nice and look like the rest of our parking lot. Above that, in the back lot back here, we're looking to do several things. One is to build a garage for our two vans and our trailer. Above that garage is going to be a loft apartment, if you will, to use for our missionaries and any ministry personnel that come in for when we have special events and all that kind of stuff. It'll be a great blessing for that. Can also be used some for our rest ministry if we have pastors and wives that are burned out, if they need some time to recharge and refresh. No better place to recharge than good old Heflin, Alabama, right? And we'll be able to bring them, give them some time away, a place to stay so they can reflect, study, recharge, things they need. God's going to use that. That's the second part. Also, in that same space, we're looking to build a playground for all our children's ministry. And you young kids like this. Some of you older kids like this. Two pickleball courts to provide for this. A safe place for our community to experience outdoor activities. The playground will also feature a picnic area, restroom facilities, and we're going to redo the volleyball court. So those are the things that are on the burner around here, around us, okay? Now, let's talk about ministry to the community. These outdoor recreation facilities we're looking to have, you say, well, can we put a sign on them that says, for church use only if authorized by the pastor? No, no, those are country clubs. Those aren't churches. Well, preacher, if somebody's around here and these kids are playing pickleball and they get hurt, aren't we liable? Probably. But listen to me. You got liability sitting right where you are right now. I noticed not one of y'all, some of y'all as big as me, bigger. Not one of y'all came over and checked the structural integrity of that pew before you sat down on it, did you? Hey, you demonstrated faith, didn't you? You thought, that pew's going to hold me up. But it's a liability. I had this happen one time in a church, Scott. You'll like it. I had a lady parked in a parking lot across the street from the church and fell in the street coming, walking to the church, but fell in the middle of a public highway. That afternoon, we got her up, scraped her up, took her to the emergency room, got her sewed up. She's fine. That afternoon, she calls and says, where do I need to send these bills to? I said, well, just wherever you live, whatever your address is. And she says, no, the church is responsible for my medical bills. I said, ma'am, you fell in the middle of the street. But you ain't going to believe this. Went and talked to my insurance man, and you know what he just told me? He said, bring me the bills. He said, she'll get a lawyer, and it'll cost a whole lot more. They'll say she was making an attempt to get to your church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you'll sue a church, something's wrong with you. I think you need to say that again. If you fall at church and get hurt and you sue the church, something is wrong with you. If my youngins fall out here and get hurt, I'm responsible for them. Amen? Let's go ahead and lay it down here, okay? If my youngins are playing at your house, okay? If Harrison's over there fishing at my house, you know what? If he gets hurt, I'm going to take care of him. But I guarantee if mine was fishing at your house, you'd take care of him. But that'd be my responsibility to make sure they were medically taken care of, right? Are y'all okay? I mean, I'm telling you, there are people that do this. They fall at somebody else's house and won't sue somebody. You got a heart problem. This is falling on deaf. I mean, this is bombing right here, okay? But hear me. But we cannot minister to a hurting world with fear that something may go wrong. When we put 70 kids on I-75 in the snow, and Gary Wilkinson's driving a van. I laid down that night and I said, oh, sweet Jesus. Then all of a sudden, you know, we got two vans. I got Gary and Robbie driving the 9:30 van leaving Munford, okay? They're going to arrive at 3:30 in the morning. I'm thinking, these guys are old like me. They're going to fall asleep, you know? And all of a sudden, I get this little thing pops up on my phone. Bad wreck on I-59 near Fort Payne, and it was about 10:30. Did y'all go past that? Y'all did, so it wasn't y'all. Good. I laid down there. I said, oh, dear God, please. You know, it's okay. But you can't stop ministering to people because something may go wrong. You've got, listen, ministry is messy. It involves risk. And we have to take that, okay? I told you, this is a church. We will continue to expand our outreach to our schools and our community in another variety of ways as well. Let's talk about mission, and we're going to land this plane. We talk about mission, that is the commission, the Great Commission. I told them Wednesday night a few weeks ago, I said, you don't have to agree with everything Rick Warren says. I don't agree with everything Rick Warren says, but there are some things that he has said that are very true, and truth is truth no matter where it's found. The broke clock's right twice a day, so you got to listen up, amen? So here's what he said. He said it takes a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission to grow a great church. I believe that 100%. So what do we see missionally going forward? Our partnerships in Utah, kids camp's going to be great this year. Great groups, a bunch of students going this year, and Derek and Kristen are so excited to have these kids coming. I just want to go ahead and tell y'all, all the girls from Tennessee are ugly. Girls, all the boys from Tennessee have cooties. I take your Old Testament. Y'all judges, y'all can't be intermarrying with them orange-wearing volunteer fans, okay? I warned my daughter about that. I told her two things. When you bring a boy home, two things. He's got to love Jesus. He's got to love Alabama football. I really struck out on that second one. I can tell there's going to be some tension when that baby Young gets here. And old Paul's putting the, rammer jammer yellow hammer in him. And his daddy's over there trying to do regal, beagle, something eagle. We also see a continued extended opportunities with our Morgan Grace Church on the north side. We see God expanding our net in that area in a big way. Let me talk to you about international for a minute. God has expanded us from local, regional, national, and we are an Acts 1:8 church. We believe that we are to be involved in missions in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth simultaneously. Not a pick and choose. So we're praying about a partnership and a international location that's in the works right now. Lord willing, and I'll be sharing more about it in the future. I hope to go in April to meet with some church leaders, discuss the possibility of partnering with them, meeting needs of hurting people there. And here's what I'm going to ask you today. Would you just pray and say, God, if that's where you want our pastor to lead us, may you make it crystal clear. And if it's not where you want our pastor to lead us, may you slam the door so shut he can't knock it down. Would you do that? I pray you do that, because my heart burns to get us involved in an international mission opportunity so we can send. You say, preacher, once again, you're taking us out on a limb. It's dangerous out there. No, I'm not taking you out on a limb for danger. I'm taking you out on a limb so you can get some fruit. And then motivation. What's our motivation? Our motivation is the cross. The Apostle Paul could have been a boastful person, Miss Connie. Couldn't he have been a boastful person, Bert? You think so? I do. If he had been left to himself, Mark, the pride he could have had. But in Galatians 6:14, he said, but God forbid that I would glory or I would boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ. God forbid. He's saying, there's nothing for me to praise Paul about. There's nothing that Paul wants praise for. But what I'm trying to do in glory and in any boast that I have is all about the cross. Old Jason Crabb used to sing years ago this song, that there was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Three pieces of rough timber on a hill, but through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the loss. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross, Marty. He chose the cross, Coat. He chose the cross, Winston. He could have walked away. Could have stopped it at any time. Didn't have to go through Gethsemane, Terry. Did you sing about this morning? Didn't have to go through Calvary. Thank God when they put him in the grave, 3 days later he got up. In the cross. In the cross. Be my glory ever till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Years ago, Michael Catt, I was reading his books. He's with the Lord now. What a wonderful pastor, proclaimer of the gospel. Sherwood Church in Albany, you've heard of him. Kendrick Brothers, the movies. But he used to always say, we're not a movie-making church. We're a Great Commission church that happens to make movies. Amen? That's, oh, you're the movie church. No, 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 we're the mission church. But movies just became part of their mission. He would always refer to an author called Andy Andrews, who I think lives in Orange Beach. And I read some of Andy Andrews' books, The Noticer, Traveler's Gift. Some of you may have read those. You are well-rounded people. I can tell the knowledge is just beaming from your heads, okay? But when it comes to vision, there's something Andy Andrews says, and I keep this in my Bible, and I keep a piece of it on my bookshelf, and I read this every day. Because no matter how passionate I encourage you to participate, pray, and persevere, there will always be some that says, that guy's lost his mind. That guy's, he's ain't no way. Andy Andrews said this, I read it every day. Those who are critical of my goals and my dreams simply do not understand the higher purpose to which I have been called. I forgive their lack of vision. I forge ahead. Ladies and I'm going to tell you, I don't want you to be in that group. It's time for all in. It's time to pin our ears back, as old Coach used to say, and be bent for leather. We don't know how long this world's going to stand. We don't know how long we're going to live. But what we do know is that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. That he might, verse 21, get glory in the church. I just got to ask you, the invitation today is simply this. We talked to Heflin Baptist Church. Are you all in? Are you? grateful for where God's brought us from? Are you grateful for what God's doing? Are you excited about what God's going to do? I hope the masses would see it. But if you're on the fence, you say, I just don't know. That seems a little too much commitment for me. Just remember, though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for allowing a wretched old preacher like me, that's not very smart, don't have a lot of gifts, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for the place you've put me. And thank you for the people you've put around me. Oh, God, I couldn't be more grateful. But right now, Father, it's time for those in the stands and those on the sidelines to get in the game. It's time to participate wholeheartedly. It's time to persevere through the pain for your glory. It's time to remember where we are, what we're doing, and what this is all about. Father, I pray for people today who may come to this church and say, hey, you mean a God would love me that much and put me in a family like this and let me be a part of something that's touching the world? Now, God, I pray you speak to their heart today. And those that are lost make the decision to come to you and be saved by grace through faith. And those, Father, who are your children, just kind of walking at a guilty distance, just kind of drifting along, not doing anything, quote, quote, bad, just not sold out. Today be the day they'd come to an altar and they'd get right with you. They'd be restored. And God, I thank you for reclaiming this church. God, there's always been good people that have attended and served in this church since its founding in the 1800s. It's gone through a lot of different phases over the years. But Father, the plane we're on now is one we don't want to slip from. God, keep us in your will so we won't be in your way. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Here's the invitation. Just a minute. We're going to stand and we're going to sing this song. You know well that we're standing in his presence on holy ground. And if you were a member of this church, say, I want to see God do exceedingly abundantly. Maybe you'd come take a place in the altar today and just say, God, we won't get this from our pew, but we'll get it in our prayer closet. Maybe others come pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you need to make a decision for Jesus. I'll be here to receive you. I'd love to tell you more about him. I'd love to tell you how he wants to transform your life. The church, we're on holy ground. We're dealing with holy business. Holy things. I just pray you'll be obedient. Father, in Jesus' name, change lives is my most humble prayer. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Stand with me all across the house. Marty, when you're ready, begin to lead us. Sing with him now. You come now as God speaks.
We
Jesus, friend. Sing. singing. We're waiting on you today. You come now. Just remain standing, if you will. Glenn, come up here with me. I'm going to borrow your mic for a second, Mark. Glenn ain't going to sing. Don't want you just, this won't take but a minute. What you saying? Glenn shared something the other day that really touched my heart. And he wants to share that with you just for a minute here today. Might help you see a little bit about where we've come from, where we're at, and where we're going. Go ahead.
Well, Brent's been sharing on Wednesday nights about what he talked to you about. And it's been a little tough for me because I've seen this church in all those phases. And it really burdened my heart because I've seen what a short trip it is back. I've seen what a short trip it is from a growing church to a plateau church and a declined church. And I've seen how the Lord has used this church to come back to a growing church. And I shared with Brent, you know, when we went through the process of finding the man that God had for us here at Heflin Baptist Church, it was a long, hard process. And we had a team that prayed and worked, and I mean they worked, and they spent hours and hours praying, and it was a tough process. But during that process, you know, I had in my mind what I thought we needed. You know, we had got to that point where we were taking care of the fishbowl, as Brent has explained to us, and we had lost control of some things. And so in my mind, the Lord was supposed to send us somebody that we could control, that we steered the ship. And you know what? He didn't send that guy. I'm so glad he didn't. I'm so glad he didn't. My heart was in the wrong place. It is so much better when he sends his man and when he gets the glory from it. And it's an amazing family here at Heflin Baptist. And I think that's the best way to describe the church. It's a family. And I hope the message today stirs your heart. I hope it changes your seat on the bus. And it's going to be uncomfortable. We've heard that. But it's an amazing place to be.
Now, Glenn sharing that, we're going to sing one other chorus, Marty. or if it takes it 100, because I want God's business done. Amen. Too often we come to church, we in a hurry to leave when we get there. Sometimes we just got to stop and say, wait a minute, God's speaking here. When Glenn shared that with me the other day, I thought, man, that's pretty profound. Because most people are too proud to say, I used to think this way and God changed me. Most people are too proud to do that. We're going to sing this chorus. And if you don't have a seat on the bus, the family of God, I want to invite you to come. If you've just been kind of riding on the bumper and you're ready to get in the game, I want to invite you to come talk to God. If you don't have a church family and you're a Christian, that means you're displaced. You need a home. I don't advocate just for, I just believe it's a good place. If God had you here, I'd want you to be. But if he don't want you, I would never, ever try to influence you other than just be obedient to God. But hear me, church. We're ready for God to bring back the glory. Sing this chorus, Marty. God spoke to your heart. You come now. There's still time. You come.
We are standing.
Praise this morning, church. Thank you very much. Thank you. You can be seated. Ushers are coming now. As they're coming, receive our morning tithes and offerings. We are so grateful for this opportunity to worship through giving. Friday day's a good day. I mean, January is always tough. We had a snow week and retreat week and all that in there, so I hope we're going to catch it all up today, right? But anyhow, let's just be faithful in giving and trust God. You can always use our online ways of giving through tithely.ly, is that what it is? There's a little card in front of you. You can scan the QR code. How about that? Well, I never thought when I started ministry, I'd say, pull out the card in front of you, take your phone out of your pocket, and snap a picture of a QR code. We didn't know what a QR code was. We didn't know what a phone in your pocket. We still don't do it, Robbie. So whichever way, you just feel free as God leads you. Just give cheerfully and joyfully, because, like I said, I wanted you to see those numbers today, to see the impact that you're making in the lives of people here at home and around the world. Let's join our hearts together and ask God's blessing on our giving. Thank you. don't forget, right after the service today, the Utah information trip's in the fellowship hall. If you're not sure exactly where you're going, Jim's going to be right here, and you'll be more confused when you talk to Jim. No, I'm kidding. No, you don't. Jim will help you get there. Brother Glenn, where did I lose Glenn? Glenn's in back. Glenn, can you hear me back there? Him and Robbie's playing. Glenn, you, the forms are on the office table. Make sure. And Glenn's going to go ahead and get those passed out, get the meeting started, and I'll be down to join y'all. But he's our Utah man, Guitarzan, right? So anyhow, so he'll help you get ready for that. But I want to present my friend Megan. Come here, you, if you would. Emma Grace, my rhinestone cowgirl right here. But, hey, Megan and Emma Grace, of course, you know, been with us a long time. Emma Grace got saved a few years ago and was baptized, and her mom is coming to formally unite with our church as well. So would you welcome Megan officially to our church. She said, I'm just really ready to sell out and be used of the Lord. So we're grateful for that, okay? When you come around, Dave, you can, welcome Megan. I mean, she's been here with us for a long time. But for formally signing on the dotted line to unite with our church family and Emma Grace, when this little girl, for I first came to this church, she ran from me. And she ran from everybody, didn't she, Robbie? But all of a sudden, she got, and I went to Utah with her one time. And she's become one of my best buds. I'll tell you right now, anybody messes with me, you see what you got to deal with right here? She'd give you a Judy chop, okay? And but anyhow, do remember to do that. And the meeting, 4 o'clock this afternoon for everybody that signed up. If you have any idea that you will work with children in the next year, it's very important for you to be in that meeting today, or let me and Chris know otherwise as well, okay? And church, remember this. Always remember that I love you. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen.